You are listening to the Amen Corner, a JCast Network podcast. For more information about other JCast Network podcasts and blogs, please visit jcastnetwork.org. For more information about the Amen Corner, please follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and all your other favorite social media.
Welcome to Season 8, Episode 20 of the Amen Corner. He's Stephen Cook.
And he's still Brad Rothschild.
Well, what's with the still?
I don't know. I just think it's kind of funny. I may be the only one, but it's,
I have to come up with something.
Yeah. Something to make me laugh.
Yeah.
How's it going?
You know, it's going. I don't like the losing the hour of sleep, but I do like gaining the hour of sunlight, or daylight.
Well, poor Lauren and Mia. Mia has a horseback riding show today, and they had to leave for the barn at 5:30 a.m., which meant they needed to leave for the barn at 4:30.
It's not great. I thought they were going to... Didn't they pass a law that they were going to do away with daylight savings time?
I mean, I don't know. Usually I'm dragging. Like, I bitch about this one rather than fall back. Spring forward is always a problem for me.
Well, for everybody, because...
I'm not feeling it this morning.
Hold on a second. Who complains about gaining an hour of sleep? Nobody.
It does fuck up your circadian rhythm.
But nobody complains. But nobody complains about it. People complain about losing the hour.
I don't feel so bad. I mean, we'll see how it goes tomorrow. But I'm like, hey, I got up. I worked out. I walked the dog. Maddie came with me. We had fun.
I mean, it's not the first
day. It's just like a regular day. Complaining about this. There are bigger things in the world to worry about.
Dude, you are done complaining about this?
I'm done complaining about daylight savings.
Because you got to complain about something else.
There's other bigger things that require my attention.
Such as?
Junk fees.
Oh, that's what you're going to complain about?
We were talking about the State of the Union, and I kind of slept through the shrinkflation junk fee part of it. The first third, I missed the middle third.
I stopped watching after the first 15 minutes because honestly, I was like, I'm too fearful that he's going to screw up. And that people are going to pounce all over him. I think he's doing
pretty good. He did about as well as one would expect, which was pretty good.
I think he came out swinging. He was high energy.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I made the huge mistake of looking on the social media because, Ari Fleischer or some douchebag like that wrote about how Biden was talking too quickly. Like, first he's Sleepy Joe, he's got no energy, and now he's talking too quickly. And then the talkbacks on that were, well, of course, they hopped him up on drugs.
Oh, my
and
God.
He's
See,
an
I don't
addict.
Understand why anybody would go on social media for anything.
No. I told you I made a mistake.
Yeah, it's
and
a huge
I did it. I don't know why.
I mean, look,
I don't know
the guy's
what I thought
81.
I would gain from it.
He's 81. He has a stutter. He's not the world's greatest orator. So, he did about as well as one could think Joe Biden could do. If you said Joe Biden did really well, he had a good night.
I think he did really well, and I think that he showed that he's feisty as hell.
Yeah, he prepares for hours for these things, cognizant of the fact that he has a stutter.
Right.
And stuff
well, the
like
stutter
that.
Has always been there, and that's always been this.
Right, but I think as you get older, it must be harder.
Yes, but also the perception of the stutter is that he is doddering or he can't put together a cohesive thought.
I thought you were going to say that he was going to keel over, Dave.
You see, I don't buy into the, he's too old to be president. Why do we have somebody younger? No, I do not think he's going to keel over during...
I mean, he's old, dude.
81, he's an old 81, I have
he
to
is
say.
An old 81.
Because 81 does not have to be that old.
No, I mean, my mom's 85 and she seems... And her leg hurts, her back hurts, but she seems like a young 85 to me.
he seems physically vigorous. Like, he'll ride his bike, unlike the former guy who can't, like, walk an 18-hole golf course. Yet somehow the former guy is perceived as being...
as vigorous?
As being more vigorous and younger.
Right.
And Biden is seen as being like this...
He's what, 3.5 years younger than Biden?
Like that.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So, instead of complaining about daylight savings...
You're going to complain about something else.
Junk fees, man. I'm sad I slept through that because that's my new issue. Because yesterday, I called Avis, which is a criminal enterprise to begin with. And I don't really have a choice. There's only really two rental car companies or three rental car companies where we're going for spring break. And I wanted to add, and my in-laws are joining us. And I wanted to add my mother-in-law as a driver on the car.
Hold up.
Okay.
Why would you ever want to add your mother-in-law as a driver?
Well, it's a little complicated, but as you know, we're going skiing. And last weekend, my in-laws, who haven't skied in a couple of years, my father-in-law had a knee replacement surgery. They took themselves up to Vermont to ski, to practice for this trip to Colorado.
Yeah.
And on their last run of the day,
my mother-in-law fell. Always the last run.
She fell and she has a tear of her ACL.
So she can't ski.
Correct. And the orthopedist said, you know, you're 75, 76 years old. We don't think you need surgery, but you can't ski. Maybe next season, but with a brace. So,
or maybe she shouldn't ski anymore. But that's another story.
I mean, I'm not going to tell anybody that. I was the only driver on the rental car, and now since she's going to be not skiing, she's going to want to have access to the car.
I called
Avis and I was like, "Hey, I'd like to add a driver," and they're like, "Well, you have to go to the counter to do it." I was like, okay, that sucks, but whatever. And they're like, oh, but before you go, it's an extra $65 plus another $30 of taxes on top of, and other fees on top of the $65 to add the driver.
So it's like another $100 to add
another $100. $65 in taxes and other fees on top of the $65.
How many days?
1 week.
Okay. So it's a little less than $20 a day we're talking.
I don't understand, but I was like, okay, what's the $65 for? They're like, for the other driver. I was like, well, what difference does it make? I don't know. Okay, what's the $30 for? Taxes, this fee, that fee. Well, what are the woman could not give
me obviously any. She's not well trained to give you the answer, and that's the mistake on the company's part. But it would seem to me,
yeah,
and this could be bunk, it could be ridiculous, and you know, who knows? But it could also be that it's extra insurance that they
have. It's not, because I declined the insurance because I'm using a credit card that should cover me. So,
but no, I'm talking about insurance that the car company has to pay. Not you. They have their own insurance.
I think that they would tell me that then.
I don't know. Like I said, she could just not be well.
I don't know. I need a dark Brandon. I need a dark Brandon. It seemed like a bunch of bullshit.
It could be. Look, if
you now my mother-in-law is all fired up. She's going to talk them out of the fee.
Oh, how's that going to work?
I have no idea.
She's going to do the Jedi mind trick on them?
I have no idea. I said a lot of the people who are in the service industry in where we're going are about your age, so maybe you have some sort of connection with them and they'll waive this fee, but
I don't know that I
believe it's already been charged to my credit card, so
I feel like
I welcome it.
I feel like those people who are her age working the counters in the local area are not necessarily going to be empowered with the ability to make
this is why I need dark Brandon. This is why I need dark Brandon.
I don't know.
More junk fees.
This is a junk fee problem.
In addition to the fact, have you seen? I should have stayed up for this part of the State of the Union. Have you seen a double stuffed Oreo these days?
No, I.
It's more like 1.25 stuff.
Oh, I did hear him say something about how we're now getting charged more, and they're shrinking the contents of, like, your chip bag or whatever.
The best example of this is the double stuff Oreo, which is no possible way double.
Hold on, let me just clarify this. I want to ask a clarifying question.
Okay.
In the past, were the double stuffed Oreos bigger than they are?
Totally.
You can absolutely tell. Okay. And I'm going to admit, as much as I do enjoy an Oreo cookie, and who doesn't, I've never actually had a double stuffed one. So I couldn't tell you.
Double stuff is one of my go-to après-ski snacks. Uh-huh. I never have a double stuff unless I'm skiing. And we bought double stuff last year when I went with my buddies, and we went this year, and it was clear that the double stuff is no longer double. Shrinkage. It's 1.25 stuff.
Shrinkage.
Total shrinkage.
Yeah. So,
and the same price or more.
Right. You should take
Have you been in a supermarket recently?
Yeah, everything's expensive. You should take that up with Nabisco.
Well, even the Rogaluf Warren bought yesterday. $11.
Look, everything is expensive as hell. Everywhere. When we were in Atlanta 2 weeks ago, I couldn't believe how expensive the restaurants were. I'm like, oh, it's out in New York. It shouldn't be that much anymore.
Right. Like, it was crazy, right?
As hell. And I'm like, plus in some of these places, you're paying for like parking, like not on the public streets, but in like these things that they built.
Right.
And it's like,
have you encountered yet they were adding 7% to your bill for your credit card convenience?
There are places that will charge you a higher, restaurants.
Yeah.
Actually, one that you and I went to together, that restaurant in the Bronx, that Yemeni restaurant in the Bronx, if you pay cash, it's like 3% less.
Uh-huh.
And if you pay with a credit card, it's a different price. So I'm saying 7%. So 7% is actually a junk fee because American Express charges the most of all of the card issuers.
And
that's like 3.5%.
Okay. So my mom took us to a restaurant on the water in Seaford, Long Island, or whatever, and they added 7% for her to use her credit card. If she had paid cash, it would have been not that. Yeah, but who cares cash? Nobody cares. Right.
Because look, again, I can understand if it's going to be between 2% and 3% if you're using your MasterCard or Visa.
Right.
That's just a wash for them. But now they've actually figured out like that most people are not paying close attention to this.
Right. So my mom's like, all right, well, I'm not going back there.
And essentially I don't blame her, but they can essentially implement any policy they want. Right. Because once you get your bill, if you don't have that cash in your pocket, like you said, who carries around cash? And if you're going to a meal with multiple people, we're talking like potentially around $200, $250.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you're not carrying in cash, then you're kind of screwed.
Yes.
And you're like, well, I guess I'm just going to have to pay the extra 7% this time. But the recourse that your mom proved that we have is that she doesn't have to go back.
We have a restaurant here, which we love, Chinese restaurants, great restaurant. They do it this way.
Great for me.
If your bill is $100 and you pay cash, it's $90. But if it's $100, that's what it is if you want to pay on your credit card.
Yeah. Now that, I feel like...
That seems more acceptable to me than packing on.
Is easier to handle. And if you... First of all, obviously, it helps to know these things in advance, and most places don't advertise that. But look, if you think like, oh, I'm getting a discount for paying cash, then you're more apt to do it because you think you're getting something for nothing rather than here's the penalty that we're imposing on you to pay with a credit card.
I went to a nice place for lunch the other day. And they have like at the top of the menu, we're adding this fee and that fee to your bill. Now, lunch wasn't on me, but that would give me pause to go to a place like that.
I've never gone back to a place like that.
A couple of years ago, we were in Chicago and we went to a place and they're like, they added like a 5% like COVID fee. And I said, your restaurant is packed. Yeah. This is not a COVID. I said, take it off. They did. They took it off. I said, I don't accept that.
Yeah. I mean, plus now it's like 15% is no longer an acceptable tip.
The suggestion 20. Is 22, 25.
20 has become the standard. So, and look, I understand, you know, that money goes directly to your servers, blah, blah, blah. But we're still now talking about tacking on fees over fees.
Right.
And onto what have become very high prices.
Right.
Just in general.
Cup of medium coffee at a good coffee place here is like $4.50.
$5.
Yeah. So don't do when they turn the thing around to me, I don't do the tip thing. I actually put $1 in because that way I know like the baristas are actually going to get it. I'm not sure when I hit that thing, they're getting it.
I don't do it. And I've had conversations with people with whom I've been out.
Yeah.
And some of them will be like, well, I still do it anyway. I'm like, I refuse to be shamed into giving this amount of money.
And
it's essentially not a tip, like, right. not a job that gets tips.
So we picked up dinner the other night, and at the end, you know, you order online and ask for the tip. Do you tip on that?
Never. Not if I pick it up. What are you doing? It's not like you're delivering it. Right. I'm coming to get it.
Right. The thing showed up. How much you want to tip? 20,
zero.
22, and, right?
Zero.
Right.
Zero.
Right. I wish more people would. It's really off-putting. It's really off-putting. There are things that obviously, like, that you're obviously getting service for that the people, you know, you have a waiter, you know, things like that.
Yeah, not the same thing as somebody stapling a paper bag and handing it to you.
You know, I felt really bad. This is we're now becoming a cashless society.
Yeah.
I had to go up to New York for a dinner meeting, and Amtrak no longer has the late train back to DC. I used to take like the 10-something train all the time. The last train is 8:30. This dinner didn't end till 9:45. So I stayed over, but I had to get back. And I was on the 5:30 a.m. train. I upgraded myself to first class. So I could sit like by myself, you know, they have my own seat. They serve you coffee. They give you fruit. You know, you could have a whole breakfast if you want. And those guys, and there's like three or four people in the Amtrak employees in the car serving people. Those guys, I used to get off the train and everybody would hand them money. No one has cash anymore.
Nobody has money to hand them. Yeah.
So I said, geez, I have for just that kind of purpose. Now, how often am I on the 5:30 a.m. train that I feel the need to upgrade to first? But like, Jesus, there are some people like those guys and they were serving people the whole trip.
And then you have to think about it. Like, right, because you just said, how often do I do that? Almost never. And then, like, of all the things that you need to put on your mental checklist, you're like, plus I need to bring small money to give to people who serve me on the train. Yeah, it's unfortunate.
I felt bad. I had no cash. Never have cash.
Yeah, when I pick up my car.
I steal it from Maddie and Mia. They still have, like, piggy bank stuff.
When I pick up my car from the garage,
yeah,
like, every time I get it, I give the guys a couple of bucks. But I have to, like, plan it. Like, I can't show up there without like singles in my pocket to give to these guys. I'm not talking one, but like you need a couple bucks to give everybody.
Right.
And
I've seen people now, they hang like their Venmo.
Yeah. Our fruit guy does that.
Right.
Right. So you buy fruit on the street, you pay Venmo or Zelle.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Anyway. Fine.
But yeah.
Back to my whole thing.
Well, that is
junk fees and shrinkflation.
So those are the big issues facing our country right now. The biggest issues facing our country.
Actually, I saw the best parts of the State of the Union. I mean, he came out swinging on Ukraine, which, you know, I think Ukraine is there's an enormous amount of state at stake on Ukraine. And there's sort of like people have sort of given up. And he's also talked about, this is a fight for democracy at home. Not the Ukraine fight, but...
Yeah, but we're fighting abroad and domestically, yeah.
And then I fell asleep, and then I woke up for Israel-Gaza, and after the Israel-Gaza, it was like, yo, I'm not too old.
Yeah.
And then...
Did you watch the rebuttal by the crazy woman in Alabama? Because I only saw the highlights of it the next day.
I started to watch. We started to watch it, and it was so weird. It was so fucking weird.
Where do they get these people from?
It was so weird. And then I rolled over, and I at one point, and I was listening, and Lauren was watching, and I was like, "Why is she whispering?" She's like, "I don't know." But Lauren,
this
was
is
like,
a hostage video.
Lauren kept saying, "Ew, gross." Yeah.
And it was in her kitchen.
Yeah,
because as Tommy Tuberville said, she wasn't there just because she's a senator. She was there because she's a mom.
Right. But that was clearly,
and
clearly
that's where women. That's
women belong there, right?
In the kitchen. Like, you didn't see this because they didn't shoot her feet, but she was barefoot.
Well, the other thing, Lauren pointed out, she said, you know, if this was, like, speaking to the average woman of America.
Not working.
Like, it was actually a really nice kitchen. It was like, she and her husband, like, clearly put a lot of money into it.
Well, she is a senator.
So, the whole thing was, apparently, my social media, my time on social media is sparing, but apparently the memes about her...
Yeah.
We're going completely wild.
But again, what Republican strategist says, like, all right, we're going to set her up. We're going to put her in the kitchen because that's going to appeal to women voters in the suburbs.
I mean,
like,
yeah.
That's a whoever did that should be fired or should be actually rewarded by the Democrats for the work that he's doing on our behalf. He or she, they are doing on our behalf. Do you think Republican strategists have pronoun issues? Do you think that they think about, like, what pronouns they're using?
You know, my pronouns.
I would love to see a Republican strategist email with, like, pronouns
they,
on the bottom.
Him, her.
They.
I had this conversation with Maddie and me. It was a little heated. I said, if I don't have a pronoun, if I don't have it in my email or something like that, you should just assume that I'm him, he. Since I was going to something, I was taking part in something, and they were sort of requiring that on the Zoom I put in my pronouns. And I was like, okay, I'm polite. I'm going to go along to get along. You know, this is what their requirement is. But shouldn't it be that, like, it's sort of my, like, I don't know, Scruffy Steven. You know, I'm a he, him, right?
I think that what... you're saying is that heteronormativity is really the only way that we should assume that everybody is like that, and that is probably where your daughters are like,
unless you indicate otherwise.
But why should that be the norm? Like, don't think that just because this is the way you are, that means that's the way everybody is.
No, I'm just saying from like I clearly present, isn't that, that's
well,
the,
how,
well, that's
hold
the,
on a
that's
second.
That's the thing well, these days. I clearly present so, as well, a...
But
male.
But what if the recipients of your email have never seen you in person or never interacted?
No, but then
with
I'm
you.
On. No, this was like a Zoom thing.
But again,
it was a Zoom thing, and I was asked to put in the thing next to my name.
Yes, but just
I don't
because
know, man.
The way you look is the way you think you look. There could be people who present in a similar fashion and who have different pronouns than you.
Then they can change their. Then they can put
well,
theirs
I,
in.
I think that what
I don't. I'm not getting in the way of anybody
saying,
changing their pronoun on their
no,
Zoom
but I don't think,
little thing.
I don't think that you should assume that if I don't have anything, the default is.
But I think that should be sort of the thing. Like, if
all
you
this
want,
being said, I don't particularly use them because I mean if I like I like you if I have to I'll put them in but you, look you and I belong to a generation that and honestly everyone who has come before us belongs to generations where this just wasn't a thing
right
so for us unlike our kids it's not intuitive.
Right.
It's not something we default to do. It's something
right.
we have to think about. It's something that.
Although I have to say, I was recently among a number of, you know, 19 and 20 year olds who had to, and there was a series of meetings with them, and each time they had to say what their preferred pronouns were. It felt like, you know, a hostage video. Like half, more than half of them were just like, "Oh, really? I have to do this?" You know, it was like a Maoist struggle session. I don't know. They didn't seem that into it. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. I don't want to offend anybody.
I don't want to offend anybody either.
I don't want to be canceled.
I don't want to be offended. But sometimes
so
shit happens.
But if they ask you to do it?
Well, I did it. Right.
Does it really hurt?
I did it because they asked me to do it. I wasn't going to be like, no, fool you.
It's a victimless crime.
Okay, I'm not doing it. It's a victimless crime.
It really is.
Like prostitution? Is it a victimless crime, prostitution?
Prostitution, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think many of the people who sell their bodies... I think that was
Elliot Spitzer's argument.
Well, I think that if you did a deeper dive into the background of the people who were selling the services...
Well, then I'm just saying...
They may be victims of many...
The reason why I brought up Elliot Spitzer was I came across... Jake Tapper is doing this whole thing, Corruption in America, and he's resurfacing all these corrupt... These stories about corrupt politicians, and he did one on Elliot Spitzer, and I was like, oh, I gotta watch this one.
Who else did he bring up?
With John Edwards.
Kushner? What about Jared Kushner?
It hasn't done Kushner yet. I saw John Edwards, and I saw the Elliot Spitzer.
Both Democrats.
Both Democrats, yeah. So Spitzer, like, clearly has a problem because now he's engaged in some civil lawsuit with someone about overpaying for sex or something like that. Like you all
Hold on. Were there junk fees put into I'm not even kidding. Like overpaying.
Might have been.
He's like,
if he didn't pay the bill, 30 days later they tack on fees and then
are these things that are invoiced? I mean, I don't really know. And then you see like the government doesn't take
But that was like the whole kicker.
Taxes.
The whole kicker was that Spitzer like his it basically destroyed this very promising political future that he had.
Yeah.
I mean, people were talking about him as potential presidential material.
Yeah.
And then he tried to make a comeback. He was on TV. Then he ran for comptroller in New York City.
And lost.
And lost. And then the most recent thing with him is he's involved in some litigation over paying someone for sex. I don't know exactly.
But then is he claiming that he was overcharged?
They didn't go into that. That was like, it was like the
end. I feel like that's the most compelling part of the story.
Well, you can look into it.
I'm going to, because I want to know. He's like, no, I know the rate. And this is not the rate that is the accepted rate. We agreed to a different rate. And now you're tacking on all these added fees. What do you mean?
It's like Avis. Rate?
Yeah, it's like, oh, there's
this
a special
rate. Like Avis.
If I use a condom, I pay more? Like... Or actually, no, it would be the opposite. If you don't use a condom, a condom, you get a 10% discount. But if you're not using a condom, you have to pay like an additional $100.
So Elliot Spitzer, pretty bad, like really bad story, like really ugly story with the wife, just off the wall. And then the John Edwards one.
With the haircut?
John Edwards is just also a terrible human being.
Well, I feel like that kind of is exactly why he's out of politics, because he was always
So, like, just, oh my God.
Is he worse than Ted Cruz, though?
I don't know. Is Ted Cruz stepping out on his cancer-ridden wife and, like, creates this whole image? I don't know.
Ted Cruz stepped out on his entire state when it was in the middle
of power. It's like, it's cold. I'm going to Mexico. See you.
Yeah.
Peace out.
You tell me, like, on a macro level, which is, look, on a micro level, we know.
No, I mean, I think there's obviously.
Edwards was an entitled
John
asshole.
Edwards demonstrated he had no moral compass.
Yeah, he was entitled.
We know Ted Cruz has no scruples. He's full of shit. That the impact on, you know, Texans was of this whole thing that he stepped down on. But actually, and I'm not defending, I would never defend Ted Cruz in my entire life. The question is, what, in that situation, what does the senator do? I mean.
It's not a question of that, it's optics.
I know, it's the optics of it. It's the optics of it. But Ted Cruz in his office could not help freezing Texans. That's Greg Abbott and those fucking guys.
Yes, but for him to get on an airplane.
No, absolutely.
And leave,
I agree with you.
Yeah. And but like to talk about his own personal story, if we're talking about bad people, you know that like he and his daughter have this awkward relationship. And actually, I think the daughter might be gender non-binary. So I don't know if it's, you know, what pronouns we should be using for them.
Damn.
But I'm not sure that he is overly sensitive to that. And that could make him a pretty bad person.
That would make him a bad person.
Especially as this person's father.
Well, let me not say it would make him a bad person. It would reinforce that he's a bad person.
Yeah. I think we should start calling him by his real name, which is Raphael.
Raphael?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Raphael Cruz. Because again, there's no racism in this country, so why would anybody have the need to change
their
name?
His name is Raphael something. Eduardo. Where did the Ted come from?
Eduardo.
Is it Eduardo? Let's look it up. Ted Cruz.
Raphael.
Ted Cruz name. Raphael Edward Cruz.
There we go.
All right. I'm going to call him Raphael.
Yep. And then you remember how he would make
Senator
fun of
Raphael.
How he would make fun of Beto O'Rourke for having a nickname, Beto.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Like, Ted Cruz would like make fun of him. Like, dude,
what Ted has Raphael? A nickname.
Raphael, what are you talking about?
Yeah. That should have been Beto's response.
Yeah. But Beto's response was just to lose the election instead. I wonder, yeah. Is he still around? I don't know.
I don't want him to run again. Well, it's always these Beto bubbles.
Yeah, and Beto bubbles. Like, this time he's going to do it. And he
yeah,
do it.
And he doesn't come close.
It's impossible to unseat Ted Cruz. Like,
well, it's impossible to unseat Republicans in certain places of the country. Most, well, it's impossible to unseat Democrats in Maryland. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, all right. This fucking guy's going to raise my taxes.
I'm going to be unseated in a minute because I'm going to get up.
All right, me too. I got work. I got laundry. I got all kinds of stuff to do.
Just got to get done.
Yeah, it's a weekend.
Podcasting all weekend long.
Yeah.
But all right. Here. All right, enjoy.
All right, everybody, watch out for those junk fees.
Enjoy the extra hour of daylight.
Enjoy your 1.25 stuffed Oreos. Enjoy the extra daylight. Makes me feel better.
All right, there we go.
All right, we're out.